You spent a lot of time talking about Yasser Arafat's leadership or personal traits in thwarting the peace process, and I wonder if you could speak to the role of other factors like the ongoing naval blockade of Gaza or the past two bombings, most recently last winter and then 4 years before that, or the
bombings of what?
Of Gaza,
mm-hmm.
Or the expansion of settlements or the creation of the separation wall, which isolates and cuts off a lot of Palestinian villages and towns in the West Bank. So I wonder, could you say anything about the role of those moves in kind of making a peace process both disingenuous and also impossible? Like, why should Palestinians want to engage in a peace process when those kinds of things are happening at the same time?
What? Settlements have never, ever been a prerequisite for negotiations. The land that Israel is on is the land that it's on. And so when they decide, when there's an agreement to actually exchange lands, then that's part of the negotiations. What the Palestinians have done is they've circumvented negotiations. So there hasn't been much talk about any kind of peace process over the past, unfortunately, in the past 13 years. And so there's been a lot of talk about bringing the parties together, but it hasn't happened. Arafat's been dead since 2004. The missions that led Israel to go into Gaza were not because they had an agenda of dismantling Palestinian society. It was because they were going after Hamas.
And yet, many of the people that they killed, actually the majority, thousands and thousands of people that they killed were not Hamas, they were civilians.
Actually, not so true. I mean, the fact of the matter is the people who were killed were Hamas members. And so I'm not sure where you're getting your stats. But the people who were targeted, the people who were involved, and the sole goal of looking, even missions that decided not to actually implement because there were civilian casualties, were Hamas operatives. And that is verified intelligence. And
I strongly disagree, and I think that a lot of internationally recognized groups
such as
B'Tselem, such as Amnesty International, such as Human Rights Watch.
I would also judge their stats. So, there's a great deal of what B'Tselem and what HRW defines as a casualty, and the fact that Hamas is actively known for using human shields and potentially doing these kind of activities. The smuggling coming out of Egypt into Gaza, these are not indicators that Palestinians are actually, and Hamas is actually changing their narrative. But
In response to the smuggling, I think a lot of that has to do with the naval blockade that Israel has imposed on Gaza and their inability to get a lot of the basic necessities that they need for just living daily lives.
Are you sure about that?
Could you let the speaker speak, please?
I'm asking you a question.
I can guarantee you that aid has never stopped going into Gaza.
Israel has actively prevented a lot of aid.
Let me explain. Israel has stopped aid that was not checked going into Gaza. And if you're referring to the flotilla, the fact is that aid has never, ever stopped into Gaza since the 90s. All the gifts and all the and everything that was ever given to the Palestinian society goes into Gaza. Furthermore, I'll tell you, even a larger problem. Gifts that have been given to Gaza, the Palestinian people, by the EU and other countries, and even by international organizations, actually have been stolen by Hamas and have been sold to the Palestinian people instead of being given freely to the Palestinian people, which was their intention. That's a larger problem about how Hamas has abused its own population, in order to deal with these goods. But I can guarantee you for a fact that aid has never ceased going in, even in the height of the violence. Aid has always continued to go into Gaza.
That's not true. Israel has blocked the Red Cross multiple times coming into Gaza.
I can tell you for a fact that it is true.
But 100% of aid is going to.
100% that aid has always gone into Gaza and the West Bank.
We're
gonna disagree. Yeah, I can tell you that for a fact because I was involved in this kind of aid. I'm telling you that this aid has always gone into Gaza. Nothing has ever prevented aid from going into Gaza, as long as the aid was checked. And what you saw during the flotilla, when aid was, when they refused to stop and check the aid in the port and see exactly what kind of goods they were bringing in, if they were really goods, they went to the Palestinian people. There is no doubt about it. Verified. Yes?
I want to thank you for, I don't know, giving this slice of what the conflict is. And I guess I just, I don't know if you're familiar with Peter Beinart's book. His book, The Failure of the American Jewish Establishment, which was famous, and his basic thesis was that young American, or one of his arguments, I guess, is that young American Jews are being asked by predominant American organizations that advocate for Israel to check either their Zionism or their relationship to Israel or their like progressive values at the door, because a lot of what the mainstream sort of Jewish establishment is saying about Israel is that and the foreign policy that's being advocated for is one that blindly supports Israel. And so that a lot of young American Jews are being disengaged and disillusioned and saying, fine, I don't want to have a relationship with Israel if it means forgoing my progressive values. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm just wondering where you see yourself or the Middle East Forum standing in either with that sort of policy that's or against it, or where you see your organization within sort of the American Jewish establishment.
Fellow at the Middle East Forum, I don't speak for the Middle East Forum at large, everybody has their own opinion. I don't ascribe to Beinart's understanding of the region. I think that...
Of Israel or of America?
I disagree with him on many points, but if you're looking at groups like the Middle East Forum, they've been, and like other groups that I've been involved with, the number one issue has been talking about American foreign policy in the Middle East. It happens to be, and it is true, that American foreign policy and Israeli foreign policy have a lot in common, and there's a mutual interest to make sure that the alliance continues, as far as if you compare between other alliances that exist in the region between the U.S. and other countries. And I think it's in our best interest to support that alliance. On that, as far as those issues. If you're talking about American Jews and whatnot, that's a sociological kind of study. I'm not a historian of Jewish studies or American Jewish history. I deal with the history of the Middle East. Frankly, I think that, Beinart's understanding of what's happening in the Middle East today and his focus entirely on the settlements as the entire stumbling block for the peace process at large is historically not true, and that's his opinion. But that's okay. I mean, I have no problem with other people's opinions.